I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Dave and DeGenevieve. A new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
All week long, we've been diving into this very controversial story about these 1,500 wolves in Idaho. There are so many wolves that Idaho has passed a law to kill more than 1,300 of those wolves to reduce the wolf population to 150. Here in Utah, we've done our research. We think we have no wolves.
Why don't we have any wolves? I mean, we want to know why. We want to know what would happen if wolves started migrating to Utah.
Wolves used to live in Utah. They were exterminated back in the 1920s. But it was big news last year, and it is news every time we have something or like a wolf sighting. There was a gray wolf that wandered into Utah last year. How dare he? How dare he? It's interesting. We've done, again, done our research here. Dave and DeGenevieve Research Department has found that only between 15 and 20 wolves have made it to Utah in the last decade and a half. So while wolves were reintroduced to Idaho back in the 1990s, you know, it doesn't seem like Utah has had any plans to bring the wolf back.
And I want to know why. Like, why can't we have nice things like wolves and wolf packs?
Why? Because they're good for our ecosystem?
We all know that wolves kill various species of animals. But perhaps we're slightly less aware that they give life to many others. So the wolves, small in number, transform not just the ecosystem of the Yellowstone National Park, this huge area of land, but also its physical geography.
You know what? I think of wolves a lot like I think of cheesecake. Good in small amounts. You know what? I want a little wolf in my life. I don't want a lot of wolf in my life.
I think of wolves more like liver and onions. I want none of it in my life. Kimberly Hersey, she's the wolf biologist with DWR here in Utah, Wildlife Resources. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning.
So after we started talking about the Idaho situation with wolves, we actually got a lot of requests from listeners to find out more about Utah's wolf situation. I want to be clear, what's going on in Idaho and the new law there regarding hunting of wolves does not have anything to do with any laws in Utah. So we want to know more about questions that are like this, kind of basic questions like, why don't we have any wolves in Utah? Can you get into that with us?
Sure. Utah has decided that we will not pursue reintroduction. We do have a wolf management plan that was first approved in 2005. And wolves, now that they've been delisted throughout the continental United States, the authority is with the state of Utah, and we can, manage them responsibly as they start to disperse into the state. We have had, quite a few sightings of wolves. People report to us every year, and some we're able to follow up on and confirm. But most of the time, if it's these dispersing wolves, it's like chasing a ghost. We know they can move quickly and through the state. So we've had at least 20 or so of these sightings that have been confirmed. But, there's a lot of other sightings of wolves that we haven't been able to confirm.
would there be a benefit to reintroduce wolves back into Utah? Because I know that they can play a positive role.
You know, we've decided that wolves can naturally disperse into the state from previous reintroductions, but we're not going to pursue reintroductions because of those animals moving from other places and because of the conflicts that they can cause.
Kimberly Hersey is a wolf biologist with wildlife resources here in the state of Utah. We're talking about wolves. We're asking her, are there any wolves in Utah? And she said, hey, occasionally we get a sighting, but Utah has no intention to reintroduce wolves like Idaho and a couple of other states did back in the mid-90s. So I have just a general question for you because I'm very unfamiliar with wolves. Can they hurt humans or do they have a tendency to go after humans? They just focus on, you know, elk, cattle, sheep.
You know, their main prey are wild ungulates like elk and deer, moose. You know, and occasionally we'll take small game as well. Wolves are pretty wary of humans overall. There are very few instances reported of where wolves have killed humans over the last decades. And most of those have been in instances where wolves were at a trash dump or something like that.
Oh.
But, you know, we know they're big, strong predators, and if a wolf were to threaten a person, human or directly pose a threat to human safety, they could be lethally removed.
Hmm.
Say I'm a rancher, and I know ranchers have very strong feelings about wolves, but can I kill a wolf in Utah if I'm a rancher and it's attacking my livestock?
If it is in the act of harassing, chasing, actively disturbing, biting, grasping, killing the livestock, a rancher can kill a wolf.
Kimberly, I have another question. I talked to a senator out of Idaho yesterday, and he said that in Idaho, there was a lawmaker who's also a sheep herder who lost some $400,000 to wolves because he lost some of his sheep to wolves. He also lost like 39 of his dogs that were protecting the sheep to wolves over a period of time. So this raises the question in Utah, if, let's say, Dave is a rancher and he's ranching cattle and a wolf happens to wander into Utah and kills his livestock, is there some sort of federal reimbursement or state reimbursement where he could get paid back for the wolf killings of his livestock?
Yes, there is a state reimbursement program. It's the same process that we've followed for years with bear and cougar. If a depredation occurs, they can contact USDA Wildlife Services, and they'll conduct the investigation. And producers will be fully compensated for cases where wolves are the likely predator, just as they would be for bears and cougars.
Huh. That's fascinating. What are some of the non-lethal ways that I could handle a wolf?
You know, if you're a livestock producer and you want to make sure that or help prevent depredation, you know, things like if you've got sheep areas where you've got them concentrated, you can hang up flabbery, which is essentially just flags on fencing. And wolves, they're wary critters, so anything that's new makes them a little bit afraid and can help prevent depredation on livestock. Also, things like non-lethal ammunition for wolves that might be harassing livestock, bean bags, cracker shells, things that can scare a wolf away. Also, you know, just really good animal husbandry and management, things like removing carcasses or anything that might be an attraction to wolves, you know, range riders, boots on the ground, keeping watch over the animals.
Kimberly Hersey, a wolf biologist with DWR. Thanks so much for jumping on the line. We've learned all that we could ever want to know this week about wolves, all because of that Idaho law that's allowing for hunters to take out some 1,300 wolves in this state of Idaho. That law does not apply to Utah. But Dave, when Kimberly talked about the wolves, you know, potentially attacking humans who are around garbage dumpsters, it brought to mind a visual that I had. For my daughter and I were in the Tetons. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning. And we were taking photographs of the night sky and the Tetons, and we're listening to the wildlife, and it kind of started to freak us out a little bit. And so we were in this parking lot area that was not well lit, and there were dumpsters, and all of a sudden, out from behind a dumpster, I mean, I didn't know what it was. It turns out after we scrambled and jumped into the car screaming and locked the doors, like the animal's going to come in and lock the doors. We locked the doors. We realized it was a fox.
A fox you thought was a wolf.
Yeah. Oh, I don't ever want to see a wolf face to face. Okay, straight ahead, changing up gears here. Baby boom or bust. The governor telling the president yesterday, that we love to have kids here in the state of Utah, but the U.S. birth rate is on the decline. We're going to dive into that and the cost of raising kids, the dollar for dollar cost of raising kids in the next 30 minutes.
Dave and Dujanovic.
So have you heard?
Dave and Dujanovic are now on your radio all the way to noon.
So catch up on the top stories early in the morning with us, Tim and Amanda.
Then talk about it with Dave and Debbie between 9 and noon.
On KSL News Radio.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.